The first epistle of John, the third chapter, the eighth verse. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy or undo the works of the devil. It's this thought that I would like to bring before you today in connection with this last part of this verse. That he might undo the works of the devil. Little do you young people realize, little do any of us realize, the mighty forces which are engaged in conflict, deathly conflict, over your soul and mine. We speak so lightly of sin. We speak so lightly often of worldliness. But oh, my dear young friends, it's no laughing matter. And Satan, with all his might, with power surpassing all the power that you and I have against him, is able quickly and well to overwhelm us. Whether as I said, it's through subtlety or whether it's in violence, he's well able. But it is to realize the wonderful position that grace has brought you and me into, and that there is a power exceeding all the mighty power of Satan, and it is centered in you and me. If you can only realize this, young boys and girls, that as we read in the 16th Psalm, the delight of the Lord is centered in you. The delight of the Lord, in whom is all his delight. Now, with these thoughts in mind, we might turn to our chapter, the second book of Kings. We won't read all the verses immediately. We'll take them up. And I just pass on these thoughts which I've enjoyed in my own soul. As I said before, here we have a curtain drawn aside, and God would show us right into the very presence of one who speaks, I believe, of Satan. How kind and how loving a Father you and I have. That he would bring us, that he would allow you and me to see these great events told in story form. How God loves to tell stories that you and I can understand. The 8th verse, 2 Kings 6 and verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel, and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. Now let's stop there. Here is a view into the king of Syria's inner chambers. And I believe that this is a picture of Satan, of the confusion, as we will notice as we proceed, that reigns, the uncertainty, and the mistakes. Now here we find the king of Syria making war against Israel. This was the constant condition, almost, of God's people, warfare, by one enemy or another, all telling you and me different aspects of Satan's attacks in your life and mine. And here we find the king of Syria warring against Israel. But notice that it says, and he took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. Well, there wasn't taking very much counsel, was there? These were his servants. He called them together and he announced his decisions. How different it is with you and with me. When the blessed Lord Jesus has brought you and me no longer to be his servants, but now his brethren. And the Lord Jesus could say, all that the Father hath spoken unto me, I have spoken unto you. Oh, what a wonderful thing to be in the secrets of God's plans and purposes of blessing for us. And also here to see in contrast how that this king portraying Satan, he doesn't discuss, he merely announces, though it says he took counsel, in such and such a place shall be my camp. Ninth verse. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. Now the scene changes. It's changed now to Israel. And here is the voice from God himself through this prophet. And he says to the king of Israel, one word, beware, beware. It's not the only word he says, but he starts out, beware. My dear young people, will you let this word burn into your heart tonight, today? Beware, beware, that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. Oh, the man of God knew. He knew all the movements revealed to him, no doubt, by the Spirit of God, and he was able to bring adequate warning to the king of Israel. The king of Israel could say, well, what do you know about being a general? He could have brought all his reasonings to bear, no doubt. But all the point is, he received the word as from the Lord. And I would just say this again to the young people. You who have parents who know the blessed Lord Jesus as their own, sometimes they use this word, beware. Do you heed it? Or does your reasoning take over and you say, well, why are they always telling me about this? I'm able to get through this world. I know what I'm doing. Ah, if you're wise, this word will remain with you. Beware that thou pass not such a place. Are you trying to get just as close to the world as you can? Or are you, through the warnings of God's word, keeping away from everything that would defile you? The world is increasingly full of moral corruption, sinking down to depths unheard of. And the subtlety, too, of all the enemy in the schools, filling the minds of boys and girls with poison from the devil himself. Beware, says the word of God, beware. Will you listen? That thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. Oh, it was marked out very carefully. The man of God knew it. He warned the king, and he told him of the very place. And this king listened. Oh, wouldn't it be nice? How much blessing would come into your life and mine if we would listen to that warning voice of God. Beware, beware. Oh, he's so subtle. He is so subtle. Satan is so subtle in his means of tripping you up. But beware. Tenth verse. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Oh, I think this is grand. He listened and he obeyed. He said, we won't go there. I'm sure you get the point. But he wants to make sure, so he sends some men along to see whether it was true or not. He wanted to be convinced. And sure enough, as these ones would proceed to the place where he had been warned not to bring his armies, there he saw the hosts. How lovely. He took heed to the word of God. He listened. He kept as far away as he could. He didn't get as close as he could to it. No, he kept far away. And what does it say? And saved himself there, not once, nor twice. I understand the New Translation says, was on his guard there, not once, nor twice. Oh, what a lot of trouble he saved himself. And you know, God loves you and me so much that he has caused in his wisdom these men of old to live out their lives, to make the mistakes so that he would have his word to show you in picture form that you and I don't need to make those mistakes. How little we pay attention to God's holy word. How often we just stumble into those mistakes ourselves and hear God's word is full of warnings. Won't you take heed, young boys and girls, to God's word? Beware. Beware. Keep away as much as you can. You say, well, I've got to go to school. Oh, that's true. You have to go to school. You have to listen to what they say. But oh, if you have your eye fixed upon Christ, you'll be kept. You won't be wanting to go into this little group after school and this one and another one. These are the little subtleties of Satan. This is how we get into many things that lead to trouble. Beware that thou come not to that place. And he saved himself there not once nor twice. Isn't that nice? Not once or twice, that means, oh, it was many, many a time. 11th verse. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. Well, here we see the confusion in Satan's life. I think of the 14th chapter of John, which says, let not your heart be troubled. Oh, here we find the king of Syria's heart is troubled. And if you and I drift into Satan's world and Satan's ways, we'll have many a troubled heart too, and many a tear. He's troubled. Middle of the 11th verse. And he called his servants. These are the ones with whom he had been taking counsel. And said unto them, will ye now show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Oh, how little confidence there was in that council. Notice that he says, will ye now show me which of us? Which of us? No trust of one another. Not even the wisdom to know. Ah, Satan, though he's a wily foe, his powers are limited. And so in this picture, I believe we see the point. He asks, which one of us is for the king of Israel? 12th verse. And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the word that thou hast spoken in thy bedchamber. Oh, this is startling news, isn't it? One of these servants, he's had a taste. He has heard of the power of God He has heard of the mighty power that God had placed in this man, Elisha. And he comes to the king and he says, not one of us, no. But Elisha, the man of God, he tells the king of Israel what you say in your bedchamber. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that a marvelous for you and for me to realize that the power that is for us can go through all the doors? There's no power that can resist the power of God. Right into the very chambers, there the words that are spoken are relayed and told, and so that Elisha had the power from God to be able to say to the king of Israel the very things that the king of Syria spoke in secret in his bedchamber, the most isolated place that he could speak. And notice that it says, tell him. Tell him. It's a continual thing. It doesn't say he told, but it says he telleth. Oh, isn't that a wonderful thing for you and for me to realize that this power goes on and on. He telleth. He keeps it up. And so in the 13th verse, now it changes. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. Let's stop there. Now, the power of Satan is changing. The power of this king changes. He's not satisfied to remain where he is and to hear that his very words are relayed to the king of Israel. Now he starts to use the power that is available to him. And what does he say? Go and spy where he is. Go and spy where he is. Ah, here is in his subtle form. Spy. He would spy out. He was afraid of the power, but he knew that he had some ability for deception. And so he said, spy out. Isn't that just the way Satan works in your heart and mind? Spying. Oh yes, it's always with that underhand method. That I may send and fetch him. Middle of the 13th verse. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Now Dothan is a very interesting place. You'll recall in the story of Joseph, that this is where the brothers saw Joseph finally. After he had searched in other places in Shechem, he walked on, and he finally came to Dothan. Here was the place of the pit. Here was the place where Joseph had been put down, as it were, into death. Wasn't this a nice place for Elisha to be at Dothan? Ah, I think this speaks to you and to me of the cross. There he was. Behold, he is in Dothan. 14th verse. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. We stop there for a moment. He doesn't say, well, there's just one man to get. I'll send one of my powerful men to overcome Elisha. Is this the power that the king of Syria uses? Oh, no. What does it say? Horses and chariots and a great host. Now, I want to bring this just a little more personal. I want to bring it now to relate it to your life, to mine. This, dear young people, I believe is a picture of the power that Satan brings against you and against me. We scoff, don't we, often at the power of Satan. But here we see it. Horses and chariots and a great host. What for? To get 10,000 men? No, to get one man. One man. You and I, as children of God, are the objects of the hatred and fury and all the might of Satan concentrated on us. Just realize this. Horses and chariots and a great host to get one believer in the Lord. Is that all? Middle of the 14th verse. And they came by night. Here is the subtlety again. By night. Not only was there power, but there was subtlety. He would sneak along at night. While the man of God would be asleep, possibly, here was the king of Syria in action. How many of us are asleep? How many of us, we must confess, are living such careless lives these days? Is Satan asleep? No, he isn't. He would rob you and me of all the joys that we have been hearing of in these delightful meetings these last few days. Satan would just do everything to snatch away from your young heart all the joy of the position that you're in Christ before God. He sends him by night. And what happens? And compassed the city about. He wasn't going to let any loopholes exist. He was in earnest. He planned out his strategy. He had the organization and the power, and he dispatches them. Everyone went to his position. They surrounded the city of Dothan where Elisha was. Now what a serious picture exists. Is it any more serious than what exists in your life and mine? I do not believe so, dear young people. I believe that this is a clear picture to you and to me of the power that is ranged against you and me, compassing us about to attack us from all sides. Any sides there? No. No loopholes. He surrounds. And there they are, surrounded. 15th verse. Now, before we read this verse, this introduces a very lovely character. Very nice young man. He portrays, I believe, you and me. And particularly the young, because it says he was a young man. Now this scene, as I said, changes in the 15th verse. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early. Let's stop there. Now, you know, in Scripture, often the word early is interchangeable with earnestly. So when it speaks of people getting up early, it is a picture of instruction to us of earnestness. Now, here was a young man who had been asleep, we judge, all night, but he gets up early. He gets up early. He was risen early and gone forth. Little did he realize that while he slept, the enemy was in action. Middle of the 15th verse. And behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. There they were, their positions taken up, all ready for the attack. Were they there just for a show of power? No, they were not. They were there to attack one man. Middle of the 15th verse. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? Well, I think this is nice. He was a servant of this man of God, but there was something wrong with him. There was something wrong. He wasn't in the happy communion with the Lord that his master was.
And if you and I look at the Master, Elisha, as a picture of Christ, well, we see very many lovely aspects. Or we can look at Elisha as a believer. He speaks to Elisha and he says, "Alas." Ah, this is the voice of despair, isn't it? Discouragement. Isn't this what Satan would do to you and to me? Oh, he's doing it all the time. And we feel that power surrounding us. I know I've often felt it when I stand up to speak in the tent. I would just feel as if the power of Satan was all around us, all around me. Oh, it's real. It's real. Satan is in earnest. Alas, my master, how shall we do? How shall we do? He was at the end of his wits. He didn't know what to do, because when he looked out on the horizon, there he saw the armies of the enemy surrounding them. He recognized them. He knew that there was danger in sight. And so he says these words, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" 16th verse. And he answered, "Fear not." Oh, what a wonderful word this is. Fear not. Fear not. Isn't this a beautiful picture of the peace that flows into our hearts when we are walking in communion with Christ? Oh, so often we hear those words, "Fear not. Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them." How wonderful. The contrast between this young man who is so disturbed and the peace that is in the heart of Elisha. Oh, he was in the channel of God's thoughts. He was, he had his eyes open. 17th verse. And Elisha prayed. I think that's lovely. I think this is a wonderful word for every one of us. And Elisha prayed. It wasn't going to be now a question of explaining things. No, Elisha wanted to be in contact with the only source that could help this young boy. Oh, mothers and fathers, are you taking this same attitude for your children? Are you praying? Are you praying for them? Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." Let's stop there. Oh, wasn't that a lovely short prayer? Wasn't that getting right to the very core of the matter? Open his eyes. Oh, our prayer for you, dear young people, is that the Lord would open your eyes to see beyond the power of Satan. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Oh, wasn't that wonderful? Oh, the eyes of the young man. Was there anything that changed in the man? No. Did Elisha ask that something would be, that he would be able to do something? Not at all. Was there any change at all in the young man? No, not a thing. Was the Lord asked to take away these enemies that are around him? No. Just one thing. Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to get our eyes opened to the truth. As we find in the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, those two on their way from Jerusalem, as they walked away from that center, there on their way, they had the scriptures opened to them. And when they were in that little cottage, and the blessed Lord Jesus was there himself, it says their eyes were opened. But oh, it wasn't until they had been brought, till they had got right back to Jerusalem, to the place of God's appointment, that their understanding was opened. Dear young people, are you in that place of the Lord's appointing? Are you having one object before you in life, the eye upon Christ, walking in obedience to His Word, walking in separation from all of the evil of this world, and in submission to His Word? I believe we find these things in this story. First, there was that separation. They were told not to go near the place where the power of the enemy was. That would tell us of separation. And then He is here in this beautiful picture. He is submitting, and He hears those words, "O Lord, open His eyes." And the Lord opened His eyes. And there He saw the mountains were surrounded. They were filled, it says. Filled. And notice the beautiful words. Was full of horses and chariots of fire about Elisha. About Elisha. Isn't that lovely? Oh, they were all there for Elisha. What a wonderful picture this is of knowing that the one who is for us is greater than he that is against us. Might we just turn for a minute to Samuel, the first book of Samuel, chapter 22, the last verse. I believe this is comparable and so positive. 23rd verse of the 22nd chapter of the first book of Samuel. Abide thou with me. Isn't that lovely? Young boys and girls, these are the words of God. This is a word right to your soul, right from Christ Himself, and He would say, abide thou with me. Fear not. Same words again. Fear not. I'm sure you're trembling very often at school. And when you see all these powers against you, sometimes they seem so overwhelming. Whether it's at school, whether it's at work, or whether it's at home, these powers are real and they're overwhelming. Oh, this is the word that I'd like to leave with you. Fear not. For he that seeketh my life, seeketh thy life. Oh, the closer we're living to Christ, the more we're going to feel the chill of this world. And the more, as we find in the 8th of Romans, that we're going to groan. And the more we feel at home here, the less we're going to feel the antagonism toward Christ. He that seeketh my life, seeketh thy life. But with me thou shalt be in safeguard. Oh, isn't that grand? But with me thou shalt be in safeguard. Now let's go back to our chapter just for a moment and close it. The 18th verse. And when they came down to him, here is the enemy now in the attack. They couldn't see what Elisha and his servant could see. And so they bear down on Elisha. He is the one that they're after. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord. Ah, he prays again. How lovely a picture of dependence this is. He prays for the boy, and now he prays again. The one who had said those two words, first he said, beware, and then he says, fear not. Now he prays, and what does he say? And Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Oh, what a wonderful thing to know that these judgments that have been brought before us this morning, that are surely to fall upon this Christ-rejecting world, Oh, what peace is in our hearts to know that when that day comes, we will be abiding with Christ in His presence forever. Oh, doesn't this cheer your heart and mine? In spite of the difficulties, in spite of the darkness that surrounds us, the gloom, the disappointment, the attacks of the enemy on every side, oh, keep your eye on Christ, young boys and girls. In me you will be in safeguard. Cleave to Christ with purpose of heart. Oh, don't let yourself drift into these awful powers of the enemy. They will surely overwhelm you. But oh, as in that verse in Samuel, abiding in Him we will be in safeguard. Oh, what a wonderful thing to know that you and I have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And how wonderful, too, it is to know that He has undertaken with all the power of His might to carry us all the way through this difficult world until that day when He calls us into His blessed presence forever.